52, right beside it, higher ground.
Lord, bless my feet on high. to see everybody. I've been kind of feeling kind of weird and kind of understanding things. Y'all know Larry doesn't watch football at all. He doesn't care for it, and that's understandable. But what I thought was very strange was, is he invited us over to his house for a Super Bowl party tonight. And it's not going to be over at 11 o'clock. I don't know. How many? What time does it start? Does anybody? What? It did? Okay, I'll see y'all there. A lot of folks, years ago, we used to see the signs where they'd have them up in churches where they'd have the party, you know, and they'd play. They'd have church real quick, and then they'd do the Super Bowl. Well, they kind of messed that up whenever they messed them halftime shows up and started bringing more sin into the church. And, well, that kind of put a, I don't know if it put a quietus or not. We just don't hear about it, you know. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God, and I don't need the Super Bowl. I could care less who wins or loses it. Be much in prayer for those that's sick and those that's sin sick. They need to be saved. And remember, Wednesday night Bible study, come be with us. You'll enjoy it. And don't forget Sunday service. And we'll talk more about it. Just don't forget now our meeting with going to Patricia's and then up to the nursing home. Turn your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter number 23. The book of Luke, chapter number 23. I would say that Tim makes sure that if I don't feel well, he'll continue to text me no matter if I feel well or not. And he will send me stuff that I really don't need, but he thinks I need it. But I'm going to say something good about Tim. Two times the sound equipment's messed up. Two times, y'all have heard it go, whatever that sound is. And both times, Kevin was up here. So we know who did it. Hey, Lordy, Tim, you'll leave me alone one day. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. I hope you had time to find it. I want to look at a passage of Scripture that we know, and we know it well. But I want you to know the Lord is fixing to be crucified in this whole chapter. And he is fixing to go and do some things that we would not understand. And in fact, when we speak of the death of Jesus on Calvary's cross, like we said this morning, that paid our sin debt, him shedding his blood. He had to shed his blood. He couldn't just die. He had to shed his blood. Blood is the only thing that will atone for our sins. And it had to be perfect, without spot, without blemish. I'm telling you, the qualifications for that, only one could make it, okay? And as he said one time to another group of people, he said, you be without sin, cast the first stone. If you've tried to find somebody that had perfect perfection other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to fail. No one was perfect but him. I want to pick up reading, and I don't want to read too much, but I want you to listen as we read just a little bit. The Bible says in verses 19 of the 23rd chapter, it says, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. And they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and the chief priest prevailed. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, God, for your love and your mercy you give us. And I pray, God, tonight that you, God, you just move upon our hearts, as well as the hearts of those that are here. Help us to realize the blessings and the joys of what it is to be born again. And I pray, God, tonight you'll help us and use us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture tells us, and you know it well, and you don't even have to turn to it. We've said it enough times, but here's what it says in the book of John, the very first chapter. He says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, when you pick up at the first chapter of the book of John, and you're now reading out almost the end of the book of Luke, what you don't really read is, or don't really think about it, the Jews rejected Jesus before this ever took place that we read of in Luke. They had no part in him. They tried their best to confound him, to mess him up, to do anything that they possibly could do against him. They would do it. They were not believers that he was the Messiah. And they were not believers that he was the one that they had been praying for so long. Seems like sometimes whenever you pray, you ought to at least recognize an answer to prayers. But sometimes, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just too hard to see. But we often talk about in the scriptures about how that their eyes are blinded. Now that we speak of more for the New Testament. What do you mean their eyes are blinded that they cannot see? That they have a hard time recognizing what me and you see. They have a hard time recognizing Jesus as that Messiah. They can't see as clearly as me and you see. When we were raised or born in this world, luckily we've had folks to be able to tell us about Jesus along the way. Luckily, I didn't have to go through any of the Mormons or what they might have bring or any other of other denominations that might be in this world. Luckily, I was born and raised in a country like this right here that I was given the privilege to learn about Jesus on my own. Amen. And whenever you think about learning about Jesus on your own, that's the reason why I keep repeating this. It was very easy for somebody to say, Jesus loves me, but it made a difference when I understood Jesus loved me. See, there's a big difference. When you sing a song, the song only has some true good meaning if it applies to you. And when you make that application, then you understand what the Jews rejected. They just said no. But now when we read here in Luke, we've got an opportunity. We've got an opportunity to do good or to do nothing at all. We got an opportunity. The man that was in charge, we call him Pilate, but the man that was in charge had the opportunity to do good. But he was trying to set the record straight in his way. And in his way of setting the record straight, it comes down, I don't really find anything wrong with him worthy of death. In other words, that was his way of setting the record straight. But I wonder how much he had to do with Jesus. It's kind of like us. There's a level that Christian people deal with the Lord. That level, sometimes you might say, well, I'm learning all I can learn. I'm doing all I can. If you're ever around somebody that's really enthused about witnessing for the Lord, or if you're ever around somebody that's really enthused about learning and reading the Bible, if you're ever around those folks, listen to how they talk. They don't talk about the affairs of the world. In fact, hey, they're not talking about the ball games or stuff like that.
They're actually talking about things that has to do with Jesus in some way, some form, some relationship. And in fact, if they're not learning about him, they seem to be going backward. But if they're enthused about it, if they enjoy it, that seems to be the brightness of their life. Now think about it for a moment. What do you talk about? You know, it's very easy to say, well, while I'm at church, I talk about church. Well, I'm glad to say, but really, are you enthused about what God is doing? Because here was Pilate. He had the opportunity, but he chose not the opportunity. He had the opportunity. But I really want to get down to where I really want to talk. Whenever they turned it over to the Jews, they said, crucify him. Crucify him. In other words, we want him dead to me. In fact, when someone dies, it's a whole lot easier to forget their memory. I want to tell you, the longer a person is dead, you will forget many things. Even if you knew them well, you'll forget many things that they did. And then something will trigger that, and you say, oh, I remember they used to do so-and-so. Now, if they're distant kin or if they're just a friend, you might not remember anything. And they'll fade away. Listen, the Jews wanted Christ dead to them. They didn't want no dealings, no conversations. In fact, the way their church was going at that time, the way they were worshiping God, the way that they were handling, in fact, they were kind of peaceable at that particular time. It didn't take very long for that little apple cart to get messed up. But at that particular time, they were pretty well content with the way things going and continuing to pray for a coming Messiah. Let me ask you this. Over the Wailing Wall today, how many times do you see folks like the Jews praying? What are they praying for? What are they praying for? Are they praying, well, God, come back and get us? Or are they praying for a Messiah? Are they praying for, oh, let's just have peace in the world? You see, we call ourselves Christians, but are we as faithful like they are in praying? But are they praying for Jesus? In fact, he's dead to them. They have lost all sense when it concerns Jesus. They have put him in such a distant memory that when they read the Bible, they don't see Jesus at all. And when we read the Bible, we see him everywhere. Now, but you see, when you're dead, when you're treating that person as dead and never been, it's a whole lot easier to forget them. Me and you need to read our Bible a whole lot more than we do. The reason why we need to read that Bible, it just kind of gets us enthused about what Jesus has done, is doing, and is going to do. When we read that, it begins to encourage us. It won't be so hard for somebody to say, well, what am I going to do with it? Friend of mine, we won't come out of our mouth, well, he's dead to me. How many church folks right now, it's almost like Christ is dead to them. Used to have a wonderful testimony. Used to be faithful in church. Used to read their Bible on a daily basis. Had a wonderful testimony that they could tell about the lost and dying world and invite them to be saved. And what has happened to them? They've almost listened to the world so much that it's easier to say, well, I really don't find any fault with them, but go along with others. Well, let's just get him out of our mind. He's dead to me. Get him out of our mind. Churches today that are going through such struggling times hadn't always struggled. Churches that have went through some hard times, maybe not having a preacher for a while, they've not always struggled. But what happens is when it begins to catch on and do this one and that one and the other, the next thing you know, here's what happened. He came unto his own. And then his own received him not. Used to be an open door. Now the door's closed. Used to be they would really enthusiastic when it come what the Lord was doing. You remember that triumphant entry into Jerusalem? That ought to made everybody happy. But what happened was they done got cold. Revelation tells us and says, you know what? If you're not careful, he says, I know your works. If you're not careful, you're not cold nor hot. You're that lukewarm. And I'll spew thee out of my mouth. We can, in fact, make God sick in our determination of what we do. In fact, the Jews, when they said crucify, me and you would never do that, would we? We would never make him dead to us. We would never. But yet there are people that have got into the category, in the lifestyle, in the way that they're doing, so that they don't recognize Jesus. They just let him go on and they go the other way. Can I read just one or two more verses? The part that I didn't read, where it says, I read this part, and they said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I found no fault or no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Listen to this. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they, and he used the word required. It was kind of like they were not going to have it any other way. They weren't going to have it any other way. Now, they had been around the Lord many times. Read your Bibles, you'll find in the Gospels they were around him and they would come and the Lord would kind of go out from among them and do his thing. Where did the followers come in? Where did he feed the 5,000? Where did all these folks come from? You see, not everybody treats Christ as he's dead to them. Not all of God's people today treat Christ as he's dead to them. He ought to be nearer to you today than he's ever been. You ought to be able to have the ability to pray to God and know he hears you. You ought to have the ability to open up that Bible and you may not find it right off, but you know it's in there and you might look through the scriptures a little bit and say, yep, there's that one. In other words, it seems like God has wrote the Bible so that it just helps us along the way. There's no telling how many times I've read the verse and it just seemed like God just put it right there. Why is that? Even though others reject him, we need to draw him closer. We need to have him so close to us that when somebody says, crucify, we don't understand. If someone says, Christ is dead to me, it ought to just blow our mind when somebody says, I have no part or no dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone has ever told you they don't believe in God, that ought to just blow your mind. Because me and you have seen the results of what God does in one life since I've been saved. Before I got saved, I was in the category of not understanding. But since I've been saved and the more that I've grown and matured in the Lord, the more that I find when somebody says crucifying, I don't understand. Now, let me quickly I didn't read that verse, did I? Listen to it. Listen to what it says. When he said, and the pilot gave sentence, and they said that it should be as they were required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Whenever you pray, whenever I pray, we pray for specifics. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity and wealth and all. No. We pray for specifics. When we're praying for somebody, we'll mention specifics. They might be sick. They might be lost. We'll pray for specifics. But what we will pray is this: Thy will be done. And when we pray, Thy will be done, we can make our petition known to God. But if it's not in His will, it's not going to be answered. When you are going through something in your life right now, you must pray God's will in your request. Watch this. They made their decision and they were going to stick to it, even if it meant God being dead to them. That was their will. A will is a strong thing. We talk about when a person is about to die, that strong will. Sometimes that strong will seems like, when? Why don't they just go on? We use terminology that way because we think that they have the control of life and death. We know God has the timing. But the will of a person is determined the way that person sees right and wrong, and if he is being interjected by God for God to show him right from wrong, he'll never agree with the lost. You'll never agree with it. Because if you agree with the lost, then all of a sudden your will goes back to their will. We're a separate people. And being a separate people, we see things that the world will never see. Now, I'm not. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that has a meaning about an idea not in the four walls of this church. But that vision must see God. If it sees the world, the world thinks the Lord's dead. Many years ago, I don't remember what year it was, but many years ago, that was a big old campaign that folks would produce about God's dead. A friend of mine, I'm glad that was a fading thing, because I don't want the world to know God's dead. I want the world to know God is alive. And in mine and your life, He should not be dead to us. He should be the thing we talk about more and more. We should have Him on our hearts and our minds. I want to close with this. I want you to listen to it. Whenever this all took place, and we know they let the thief go, and they chose to put Jesus on Calvary's cross, there was one feller that show was proud that he was crucified. When that thief on the cross was up there in that condition, fixing to die and go to hell. But because of all the circumstances that took place, that conversation was, Jesus told that man, when he said, Lord, remember me, he said, today thou shalt be. Did that rascal know anything about paradise of God? Did he know anything about heaven? No. Did he know anything about Jesus? He could have said it like this. That man told me everything. I believe the Lord is able to examine a person's heart and not have to say a word. And I believe that's what he did to that old thief on the cross. He had words that would speak to your heart. You know something? He can speak to your heart tonight. As a happy camper on that cross, whenever he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," he knew he was going home. Never had been able to call her home before. Ain't you glad to know that Christ wasn't dead to him? He could have joined in teeth with the rest of them. Said, "Yep, we're getting rid of you. We may be dying ourselves, but at least we're getting rid of you." I'm glad to know Christ is not dead to me. When I close my eyes in death, there'll be someone there to guide me. I got a home in heaven, and it's given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it possible that I could get to go to heaven. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. I'm thankful to be saved. Thankful that my life may not have been always the peachy king. May not always done the things God wanted me to do. But I'm so thankful I can still communicate with him and he communicates with me. I'm glad that I believe in what they call eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I'll leave this world and leave this flesh behind, but my world is in another place. I'm thankful for that. Stand to our feet and sing a verse. God's speaking to you. You come tonight.